Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
What's good, Atlanta? This is the Blog and Dirty Podcast, where Dirty Bird is the word if you haven't heard. I'm your host, John Bueller, lead writer, fansided.com. Falcons and everybody else in the NFL is underway with mandatory minicamp across the league. We've obviously seen mandatory OTAs. I guess that would be now voluntary OTAs previously. Rookie minicamp, and then, you know, we're going to be gradually getting towards the preseason training camp. And then, you know, within 3 months, there will actually be Atlanta Falcons football where results matter. But, yeah, I got a very exciting show for you guys today. If a train goes by, I'll let you know. Obviously, we've got blow the whistle on today's program. But, you know, This is going to be a fun, exciting show for you guys today. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Got to talk about Kirk Cousins, Kyle Pitts, Jaire Alexander, Michael Penix, Zach Robinson, just so many places to go. And these are kind of my favorite episodes where, like, I just kind of unpack something that I've been thinking about for a while. So let's get started today with some You Like That. Aaron Rodgers has signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that leaves Kirk Cousins here on the Atlanta Falcons. So where does this leave us moving forward? Yesterday, at the first day of mandatory minicamp, Cousins basically admitted, like, look, I'm going to be here for a while. You know, he's kind of, like, accepted that this is his fate. And he's going to be, you know, the best backup quarterback that he can be, try to help this team win as many games as it can in 2025. I think that this basically, you know, puts a nail in the coffin of him potentially being traded. It really came down to entirely if the Pittsburgh Steelers were going to sign Aaron Rodgers or not. They ultimately decided to do that. They gave him a one-year, $13.65 million deal, and there's a bunch of incentives baked in. You know, it's based on how well the team performs. Can he win MVP at 42 years old or not? But I believe he has another – additional $5.8 million he can make in incentives. But Cousins is making more to be the highest priced and best backup in the league to Michael Penix Jr. And I think, in a way, it's still awkward. It's always going to be awkward, but it takes some of that pressure off the team to make a trade. Look, I don't think anybody is telling the Falcons to make a trade. It's like, well, Cousins is good enough to start somewhere else, but I would argue, for the most part, like, what good is that for the Falcons? What are they going to get back in terms of draft compensation? They're going to eat a lot of money with dead cap. I think the idea of bringing him in to be the team's starting quarterback entering last year, it was a four-year deal to get him to leave the Vikings, essentially. But, like, there was ways to get out of the deal after 2 years a little bit easier. And, you know, it took about 14 games last year where it became obvious where Michael Penix Jr. needed to be the guy for the Falcons going forward. And I'll always say this, you know, Cousins knows the system. He's played in it. He's played in variations of it before. I think he could be a useful tool to backing up Penix. What I think people fail to realize in all this with Cousins is he's always been a team guy. I mean, his representation and the amount of money he's made in his career may run counter to that to some people, but that's kind of really been the ethos of it for him. Like, he had to be a team guy in high school. He had to be a team guy at Michigan State, had to be a team guy with Washington. And maybe it became more of his team there with Minnesota, but obviously this is kind of the way that football has served him. He has the ability to relate to a lot of people on the team because he's a former fourth round pick. He's a former two-star out of high school. Penix had a transfer. Penix has dealt with injuries, but Penix was also the number 8 overall pick by the Falcons. So it looks as though like the Cleveland Browns have a lot of guys in their quarterback room right now. I like Shedeur Sanders probably the most. I don't really know why they took Dillon Gabriel. Kenny Pickett would be a guy that would come here if we were to trade Cousins to the Browns. And then obviously Joe Flacco. I think really like once the Browns decided to bring him back into the building, that largely told me that they weren't really going to be a serious player in trading for Cousins anymore. Obviously with the Vikings, he may have strong ties to Minnesota from his 6 years there, but why would you want to walk into a situation that's more unsettled with J.J. McCarthy? They know less about him than we know about Penix. And I've seen Penix play. I've seen Penix do stuff that will translate to the NFL level. I'm a little dubious on that of McCarthy. Again, the biggest J.J. McCarthy hater known to mankind. I'm willing to eat crow, but we can't be like praising him, giving these mega extensions, like the Boston Red Sox did with Christian Campbell, who they may send down, even though he went to high school, same high school as me, years later. But where I'm looking at this with the Falcons, with Cousins, is we're not dealing with the crapola that the Steelers are dealing with T.J. Watt, or the Bengals and their mess that they created with Trey Hendrickson. Like, there's going to be awkwardness in this organization with Cousins being part of this team. There's also a chance that there may be stuff with people like, Micah Parsons not having a long-term deal with the Cowboys, or James Cook not having a long-term deal with the Bills. But I think when it's mandatory and you show up and you're trying to make it work, I think it goes a long way with showing the organization that you're trying to do the best for what the team is. Again, the best for the Falcons right now is probably Penix starting over Cousins. But we got to give this time because, again, I will always say this. I love Penix's talent. I love what he did at Indiana. I love what he did at Washington. He's been one of our favorite players to cover over on False Start in the last 2 years. Definitely check out that show. Cody Williams is back on the program. We talked about Penix and a few other players of note and personalities celebrating a big monument for us for the College Football Podcast. But anyway, I would say that Penix, he's left-handed. He's not incredibly mobile. He's mobile enough, but he is injury prone. So why would you give up a quarterback who can start at a high level in this league for nothing? And if Penix gets hurt, your season's not lost. Again, so much is riding on what is to come with Cousins and Penix and everything like that with his team. I mean, if the team doesn't make the playoffs, is Raheem Morris back for year 3? Does Terry Fontenot get a year 6? That's kind of what is at stake here with the franchise. So Cousins has admitted defeat. Rodgers is a Steeler, and this is the Blogging Nerdy Podcast. So that's how we got that right now with somebody like that. He's part of the team. We'll see what happens. Let's just try to move forward. Let's just try to power through the awkwardness like we're Jim Harbaugh. So let's move on to our next topic here with some too legit to pits. Arthur Smith loves him some tight ends. He cannot quit Kyle Pitts. He could not quit Jonnu Smith. So there have been some feelers out there from the Steelers about potentially trading for Kyle Pitts. Look, even if they want to, it's not happening. Pitts is locked into having the best year he possibly can this year for the Falcons. And I don't think that the Steelers are the right place for him to go. I don't think the guy is going to get traded this year. The only way it happens is if the Falcons struggle out of the gate and Fontenot can get some serious compensation back for him at the deadline. I don't see that happening. Again, he's under contract for just this year because, we extended the fifth-year option to him out of Florida after the 23 season. He had a great, fantastic rookie year in 21, 22, 23, 24 have been varying levels of middling is probably the best way I'd say it. Frustration probably more than anything. But the biggest reason why I do not think the Falcons are going to trade him is, again, I don't think that the Steelers are the right team. They're an organization that, okay, unless they believe Aaron Rodgers absolutely wants this guy. Well, what does he know what he wants? He just got here. He'll make do with what they have on the roster. And if he's like, oh, I'm only coming if he can trade for Pitts. Okay, maybe I could like concede to that notion. But let's be real. Mike Tomlin is operating in a Stockholm syndrome situation there in Pittsburgh. He has the entire organization completely under his thumb. So if the Steelers do not perform well, he's not going to eat it. They're going to make Arthur Smith eat it. So why would they do something that would make Arthur Smith look incredibly smart that could potentially tear away at making Mike Tomlin look smart? I don't necessarily think this is the way to go. I know that there have been ties with the Falcons possibly trading for Cousins, but like this only – that was the one I thought was more of a possibility. I understand that Jonnu Smith is probably more of Arthur Smith's guy, you know, Smith brothers, Smith whatever, than Pitts. But like trading him from the Dolphins would be in conference, and that's a bit more difficult to do because like that could be the piece that keeps the Steelers in the playoffs and keeps the Dolphins from getting back in. Again, they have a very critical season too. Things don't go well there in Miami. It could be the end of the line for Mike McDaniel, Chris Greer, and everybody. I don't know. Things are looking kind of bleak there in Miami. I don't really trust building a team around Tua Tagovailoa, but that's just me. But I guess to really tie a bow on this, I don't really buy into the whole Steelers rumors of trading for Kyle Pitts. If it was earlier in the offseason, then maybe I could get behind it. But right now, I kind of feel as though like the ship has sailed. We also dealing with the fact that Pitts has a strained muscle in his foot. Like, are the medicals going to check out? Are the Steelers going to try to trade for a guy that may not be fully healthy? Are the Falcons going to be willing to give up a player like that who is immensely talented for less compensation? I'm of the belief, and I wrote about this for fansided.com last week, that like this is probably Pitt's last season with the team. I would argue that if he balls out, he may make more money than what the Falcons would be willing to pay. If he doesn't, then they can let him go. If he's just in the middle, maybe they'll bring him back on a hometown discount. I don't know if that's going to be the case. It really comes down to how strong of a rapport he ends up having with Michael Penix Jr. That's really the only thing that matters here. And he'll always have a place in this league because guys like Terry Fontenot, Arthur Smith will always advocate for him, even if the guys and the people change here in Flowery Branch. But I just don't see this being a situation where it's going to happen. Again, like who the Falcons have at tight end beyond him? Charlie Werner, he's kind of more of a blocking tight end. That's what he was at Georgia. That's kind of what he is now. It's kind of like taking away an important piece of your starting five in basketball. Like, how are you going to build your starting five otherwise when you don't really have your power forward or your stretch five in Pitts in this case? So it doesn't matter if the Steelers have been tied to him in some capacities. I'm just not buying it. And on the topic of trains, maybe going by today, we'll see what happens. Let's do some blow the whistle. Will the Atlanta Falcons give running back Tyler Allgeier a second contract? So he is entering, I believe, year four out of BYU. He was drafted in 22, so fifth round pick. Came into college in a very different way. I believe he played junior college or had to work at a Walmart before walking on and playing at BYU. Again, it's always a tricky proposition to give a running back a second contract, particularly when you know you got to pay Bijan Robinson a year after you, maybe three, maybe two, because like, he was a first round pick and you'll give him the fifth year option. And even though Robinson gets far more carries than Allgeier into this offense, I'm going to blow the whistle. Yes, the Falcons will give Tyler Allgeier a second contract for one reason to one reason alone. I'm of the belief that if you hit on a player in day three and he can show up for you, on the stat sheet, internally, you find a way to make it work. Because, look, those are the type of draft picks that define organizations. Like, yes, everybody talks about their first-round pick. I mean, Terry Fondo's hitting a lot. Thomas Dimitroff hitting a lot. But it's those day two, day three picks where you're getting value, where you're not just getting some guy to fill out a roster sheet and fizzle out of the league. Like, if you get a guy that can contribute to you at a very high level in the fifth or sixth round, by all means, like, you've already gotten tremendous production out of him initially at a fraction of the price. You may have to pay a bit of a premium to keep him, but like, this is a guy that I think is worthwhile investing in and, you know, making sure that he closes out his prime in an Atlanta Falcons uniform. Again, like, throughout my entire fandom of the Falcons, we've always had good running backs. We've often had multiple good running backs at the same time. And there may be guys that are like your typical, like, you know, your RB1s, like your Bijan Robinsons, your Warwick Dunns, Jamal Andersons, players of that level. But there's always been guys here who have been like your change of pace guy. I mean, Michael Turner was an RB1 too, but like, you know, you've had guys like Jarius Norwood, you've had guys like TJ Duckett, you've had guys like Tevin Coleman. Now you have a fantastic guy with that in Tyler Allgeier. Having a running back tandem of Robinson and Allgeier gives the Falcons something to lean on offensively if we do kind of potentially run into a spot where, for lack of a better word, Zach Robinson or Michael Penix Jr. stagnate for whatever reason. We can always lean on the ability to run the football because offensive lines mostly work together. We still got to figure out what to come with Caleb McGarry's contract. Ryan Neusel has gotten a new deal, but we know Matthew Bergeron's been here a couple of years. Chris Lindstrom's the best guard in football. Jake Matthews a mainstay. Just being able to run the football with some serious conviction will serve this team. Not just this year, but years to come. And even if the Falcons don't make the playoffs this year, like, and a team comes in and you're looking for like a new head coach, new regime or whatnot, they'll look at that running back tandem and they'll be like, oh, hell yeah. Yeah, I want that. I want some more of that. That's going to work for me for this year, the next, and maybe beyond that. You know, I wouldn't give him like a 5-year deal, but I would give him something that would like make sure that he'd play for the Falcons, you know, through the 28 season, if you will. So maybe a 3-year extension, maybe 4 to get to 29. I think that, like, again, it's I think about this every day, letting Drew Dahlman go after, you know, being a great player in the fourth round. Again, Ryan Neusel was undrafted or didn't come into the league even as unheralded as Dahlman. But like, when you hit on a player in day 3, you owe it to yourself to get a second contract out of that guy. You know, because that shows you've gotten value. That shows that you've extracted value. That shows that you did your homework on a guy that other people slept on. And in a way, I feel like when you pay a guy who is a day 3 pick or a day 2 pick big money internally, like they're going to play harder for you even more so. The best part is they've earned that money. And unless, you know, Allgeier gets hurt or gets phased out of the offense or something like that, I think the Falcons have to pay him. Let's move on to the second half of our show with some Grits Blitz. Probably, you know, the featured image on today's show with Jair Alexander. But, like, would recently released stars on defense like Jair Alexander, formerly of the Packers, or Jermaine Pratt, formerly of the Bengals, would they make sense?
Summer's hotter weather is finally here. But don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
It's on the Atlanta Falcons roster. Ideally, you want to keep adding players who can make plays and be impactful on defense to help raise the floor for this team. I think the offense is going to be firing all cylinders. Penix will have his ups and downs in his first full year as a starter, but like, I think that side of the ball will carry it. I think with Raheem Morris being a defensive mind, with Jeff Ulbrich being a well-thought-of defensive coordinator, former interim coach of the head coach of the Jets, I think that they'll be looking for pieces outside of Atlanta that could potentially help this team get to new heights and make it back to the postseason. I'm going to start with Alexander. So Alexander, I believe, is entering year 8 out of Louisville. He is a 2-time Pro Bowler, made it in 2020 and 2022. I wrote about this for fansided.com that I think earlier in the week that he was released in part because Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst did not trust him at all. Like, the guy was not healthy at all. He could stay on the field. I think I wrote about this. Since 2021, Alexander has appeared in half the games the Packers have played. Again, that's when the schedule went from 16 games to 17. And I think only the 22 season, which was a contract year for him, that was his fifth-year option year out of Louisville, did he play more than like 10 games. I think he played something like 15. You know, in the other 3 years, he's played like 7, 7, and 4. So he may not be the same player he once was, but I still feel like whoever gets him may get like a renaissance year of sorts. You know, there are ties to the Falcons. I believe Jerry Gray has ties with him to the Packers, somebody else on the coaching staff as well. I'm blanking on it. And you're looking maybe to augment your defensive backfield a little bit more. You know, you're looking at, you know, you've got AJ Terrell at cornerback. You've got Jesse Bates at safety. You know, you let Justin Simmons pretty much go. Maybe you can afford having another guy like that. Maybe Mike Hughes, a former first round pick, emerges as that. But like, I don't know. Like, I'm a little bit more on the side of, I think you could consider doing it, but then maybe some more so with Pratt, which I'll get into in a minute. But at the end of the day, I still kind of feel like this would be the same sort of thing with the Falcons, like spending a lot of money at the very end of training camp last year on Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons. And there's reasons why both are still unsigned. Both are not back with the Falcons at this stage of the offseason yet. Maybe they will be, but you know, we paid for somebody else's expiring goods. So Alexander may be a better fit here, but again, I'm a little bit more apprehensive on that. He would come here for a depreciated dollar amount, probably from what he was making in Green Bay, but like, we would look so stupid if he got hurt, like, and missed the bulk of the season and played like 6 games for us. Can't have that. As far as Jermaine Pratt is concerned, this just kind of shows the Bengals are inherently dysfunctional. This is a guy that was a team captain. This is a guy that was, you know, did all the right things there in Cincinnati, and they still let him go. I think back in February, at the end of the season, he asked for a trade. The Bengals didn't grant him that. They just kind of let him just sit through free agency, wouldn't trade him. And then they eventually released him like post-June. Maybe that was to save some money or whatnot. The team that he has been tied most closely to would be the Indianapolis Colts, most notably because former Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo is the defensive coordinator there in Indianapolis. I think that's the team to beat in that situation. I know that was a guy that the Falcons were looking at potentially being their defensive coordinator, but they ultimately went with Jeff Ulbrich instead. I can get behind that a little bit more. This is the position group, for whatever reason, that keeps me up at night with the Falcons. I just kind of sit there. I'm like, if that position group is better defensively, then I think it makes the entire operation better. I know we're talking so much about the pass rush, but like, I feel like we're kind of throwing like pebbles into a bottomless pit there in some aspects. Pratt could be a huge addition for us too, but I kind of feel like he and Caden Ellis kind of occupy the same sort of production leadership role and whatnot. Maybe they could coexist, but maybe Pratt would say really nice glowing things about the Falcons organization. You know, Jesse Bates would tell Pratt that, and he'd be like, okay, maybe I want to come here. Maybe I want to be part of this, because I think the Falcons and Bengals are probably more closely intertwined or similar enough in their competitive life cycle than we'd expect. Maybe the Falcons are on the uptick. Maybe the Bengals are on the downtick, and they're kind of intersecting like right here. I don't know. I feel like the Pratt stuff, like, because there's such a more obvious landing spot for him with the Colts than with Alexander. Like, it's hard for me to shake anything but the Colts when it comes to Pratt. But I think Alexander is probably the more likely of the two to end up here. But again, after last season, I kind of see Terry Fontenot and the Falcons brass probably punting on both. Just because, you know, when you make big swings and you come up empty handed, you may be a little more methodical in how you build the team. So that's kind of how I'm feeling with that. Let's move on to our penultimate topic with some. And here's to you, Mr. Robinson. What can we look forward to year two of Zach Robinson being the offensive coordinator? I've read a few pieces about this across the interweb, just a handful of things out there that really intrigue me. At this time a year ago, they were talking about like a brand new install. Like, they were installing a brand new offense, you know, the offense that the Falcons ran under Arthur Smith and with Dave Ragone to some extent. Like, that was very, you know, pro personnel. That was very run centric. Fullback was very much a part of it. Again, that's, you know, the offense is basically running through the lens of a former offensive guard in Arthur Smith, whereas Zach Robinson's a former quarterback, you know, former star quarterback at Oklahoma State, came up in the Patriot system a little bit, didn't play very much at all, but he's also spent time in the under Sean McVay in Los Angeles of the McVay Shanahan tree. So I would say everybody's role in this offense is going to be, I don't know if more defines the right word, but like, people will know what is expected of them. And there may be things that could be put on their plate more than what it was a year ago. Like, we're not in this feeling out process of like, okay, can you do this? Can you do that? No. I fully expect that like guys like Darnell Mooney will have more on their plate. Kyle Pitts will have more on their plate. Obviously, you know, Drake London and Bijan Robinson passed their first year in the system with flying colors. I would say the same sort of thing with Ray McLeod as well. His role may be accentuated as well. Maybe Kadarius Hodge will be factored more into it as the fourth wide receiver. Maybe Charlie Warner is used more in the passing game as a tight end. We shall see. But I think really the single biggest thing that I've read, and we'll probably finish with this when we talk about Penix here to end the show, is there are things that Michael Penix Jr. can do at quarterback that Kirk Cousins cannot physically. I think his ability to really rifle the pigskin in there is to the benefit of the Falcons. That will allow for, you know, more opportunity for guys to get open. It may also result in the offensive line breaking down a little bit more because you can only hold up in pass coverage so long. But I think the fact that like plays can be extended a little bit longer is to the benefit of the Falcons. In a way, like, it will actually allow for more and less plays at the same time. Like, each play may last a few seconds longer. So maybe like you're not running as many plays like as quickly, but you're also staying on the field a little bit more. And I think like you're kind of in a way shortening the game a bit because, you know, you're scoring points, you're maintaining possession, you're dictating the tempo and the pace of the game. And I think that would be to the benefit of the entire defense as well. If the offense is just a little bit better, then maybe the defense will be just that much better too, as an indirect result of that. So, again, I think Penix has to get a little more accurate. I think it all comes down to him developing that rapport with his receiving core. I think the other thing that people have to realize is, you know, the offensive tackle tandem. We got the train coming by. Oh yeah, let's go. Let's go. Not any horns. That's pretty good. I spoke to you, Sam. Literally have an active track like 20 feet that way. It's just the beauty of being in Atlanta for sure. But anyway, I would probably say when it comes to Penix and the development of the offensive line, Caleb McGarry is now his blindside protector, whereas Jake Matthews is, you know, blocking in front of him. So, like, your left tackle is your right tackle, and right tackle is your left tackle. That's the nature of the beast when you have a left-handed starting quarterback. You know, being able to switch positions is like wiping your ass with a different hand. You can. It's going to be messy. Do you really want to? If you have to, yes. But we would rather go with old reliable. Anyway, like, that's going to add some different levels of importance here for the Falcons. And I think, like, it won't really impact the running game too much. Maybe the handoff exchange to Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier needs to be improved on. But then again, like, Cousins only started 14 games for this team last year, and he hadn't been with the team in any years prior to that. So, and again, I think Cousins will probably embrace more of a coaching role on the sidelines to really help the offense get along. Because, look, and I'll say this. If the Falcons go on and have a great season and they do well and they make the playoffs, then there may be opportunities for Cousins to still play. And even if Penix gets hurt or not, like, he'll be out there. And if the team does well and he helps this team win, then I think that bodes well for him potentially in a trade situation in free agency, whatnot, basically in 26. So I'm just firmly of the belief that under Zach Robinson in year two, we are going to see the offense improve even more so. But I think the absolute best part here is I don't think we're going to lose him after 2 years. You know, this isn't going to be Kyle Shanahan under Dan Quinn for just 2 years. You know, we may be looking more at this in like 3 or 4 years. I think that the quarterback change from Cousins to Penix probably extended Robinson's shelf life here. Again, you know, we went in a different direction. We went with after two straight likable defensive-minded coaches in Mike Smith and Dan Quinn, we went back to a very unlikable offensive-minded head coach in Arthur Smith after Bobby Petrino. So, like, we know the types that Arthur Blank tries to attract here. But maybe we just get a likable offensive guy at some point. You know, maybe we'll finally get that head coach who's our all-time head coach. I mean, franchise has been going for 60 years or so and still haven't really had that. Again, it all comes back to ownership, the front office, head coach, quarterback, and you got to make sure your pillars are strong. But I would say with Zach Robinson, we seem to have one of the better ascending offensive minds here. So I'm very excited about that. And let's move on to our final topic of the day with some big Penix energy. I've been seeing some stuff about Michael Penix Jr. being potentially a worthwhile fantasy football player. So is he that? Okay, look. Just because I play fantasy football doesn't mean I'm good at it. I've done this for about a decade or so. I kind of hate it, to be honest with you. If you want to read, if there's anybody on my fanside.com team who loves fantasy football, that'd be Leor Lampert. He loves it. It's just not for me. I played a league with my friends, and I play in a league at work and stuff like that. The one with my friends, like, it's a funny tradition for us where, like, whoever has the best team during the regular season, like most points, most wins, whatever, always loses like the first round in the playoffs. And then somebody else out of nowhere ends up winning the league. I had the best team 1 year and then I lost. I think I've gotten to the finals before. Like Kevin MacArthur, I've never won. So that's how it goes. But take it. I mean, my minimal fantasy football advice is with Michael Penix Jr., I think he is certainly a draftable player, but I would not have him anything higher than QB2 for you. And I'm also of the belief that, like, unless it's Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, like, you're probably not served drafting a quarterback in the first three rounds. Like, again, I'm very much of like the belief, like, get running backs and receivers early, because, like, once you kind of get past that turn in the snake draft with rounds 4 and 5, like, it get pretty barren very quickly. But anyway, there have been times in the past where I've gotten a quarterback and with my QB2 ends up being better than my QB1. I mean, there have been years where, like, I think 1 year I got Russell Wilson like early. Like, he was like my last pick. I'm like, I'm just going to see if it's going to work out. You know, very early with the Seahawks. And he was better than the guy I had that 1 year. I think it might've been a bad Big Ben year or something like that. I honestly can't remember. I've also had a year where I ran with Tyrod Taylor as my starting quarterback when he was with the Bills back in 17. That was the year that I almost won it all. So like you can get value with your QB too. But like, I think in terms of fantasy stuff, like Penix is going to throw for yards. Penix is going to run maybe a little bit, but like we're only dealing with a team that's got three starts. I think the fantasy darlings on your Falcons are Bijan Robinson and Drake London going away. If I had to go with the third guy, I'd probably have Darnell Mooney as like a flex option. Kyle Pitts, can't really trust him. And that's kind of how I feel about the Falcons here with regards to fantasy football. You can name your fantasy football team Big Penix Energy. I name mine London Calling, which is I may do something else on here. It may be Bijan Mustardson or something like that at some point. I don't know. But I think, like, you know, you're getting towards the end of the draft. You're trying to fill out your roster. You know, you're talking about, like, your final four picks you make on, like, a 15-team or 15-roster spot league. You might as well. I mean, what's the difference between him and, like, Trevor Lawrence? And that's kind of a – that's kind of precisely my point in all of this. So yeah, that was fun. Yeah, this was episode, I believe, 45 of the Blogging Dirty podcast. You can follow me, John Bueller, on Twitter or the X at Bueller118. You can follow the show on Blogging Dirty FS. You know, follow it on Twitter at Blogging Dirty. Be sure to read all my stuff on fanside.com. Be sure to read anything on fanside. You know, that can be Blogging Dirty. It can be NFL Spin Zone. It can be ATL All Day. Just read fan-sided content. We would really, really, really appreciate that. So again, I'm going to be coming out to you guys next week on the I think it's going to be on the 18th. So maybe a little bit later. I think I got a pre-record false start a little bit earlier than that. So probably be coming to you guys live around 11:15 or so. Again, I got to coordinate that with producer Sean, but yeah, we're picking up a lot of subscribers on this show. Where I think at last I checked at 292, so we're getting very close to a 300. Last episode was the most viewed one to date. You know, it was about the Kyle Pitts injury that may or may not have gotten swept under the rug. But like, you guys have been fantastic. You know, supporting me here with Blogging Dirty. You know, with Dirty Bird Nation, everything like that. Again, like, it's not always easy to do a show once a week in the off season, but like, that's when these shows are built. That's when I build my rapport with you guys. Again, I probably got some PTO and stuff coming up here in July and everything like that. But yeah, we're looking to probably keep doing this show every Wednesday, usually around 11. If there's meetings I've got where I got to move it around, you know, we'll do that as well. You know, we are a mobile podcast, dog sitting once again for the Greyhound and everything like that. But, you know, give us a 5-star review there on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Really helps the show grow. Yeah, this is obviously a fun time of the year. You know, there's a lot of excitement in the air. I'm just very happy and thankful that, like, we're not in a situation where, like, the Bengals with Hendrickson, where it's just so adversarial, or even TJ Watt with the Steelers. Like, again, like, be thankful that, like, the Falcons aren't in that position yet, because they might end up there. This is just nature of the beast. That is football and everything. So yeah, that's kind of what I got for you guys today. You know, again, you know, hit that subscribe button, like, you know, you're hitting the gap, you know, smash that like button, like, you know, you're making a block to open up the run lane for your teammate to hit pay dirt and everything like that. But yeah, that's kind of what I got today. Once again, thanks for listening, and this is the Blogging Dirty podcast.